Well, good morning. Saw Ron Ching yesterday morning, and he says, "Well, have you picked out your costume for the service tomorrow?" I said, "No." So if you were here last week, you know we heard a first-person narrative during the sermon. So you don't get a costume, but you do get me. Thank you. Boy, that was pitiful. Yay! Thank you, Darla. I appreciate that. Hey, it is a joy to be back in front of you. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a good while. Hey, the interim seems a long time ago, doesn't it? Seems like it's been forever, but isn't God doing some neat things? He's faithful. It's exciting days to be here. David is on the mission field this week with our team in the Dominican Republic, being down there to learn some more about our history with the Dominican and just our missions partnership down there. So we want you to continue to be praying for him and for that team. I believe he's going to be teaching and preaching a few times down there this week. I know he'll be back fired up next week, so he'll be back in the pulpit. You want to make sure on your calendar you're here next Sunday, because he's been out for a couple weeks, but he's been working on sermons. So I know he's going to come back with some wonderful stuff for us. While he's out this week, he did ask me to fill in with another story in our summer series of the greatest stories ever told. And as I was thinking about, golly, what kind of stories to talk about for the greatest stories ever told, the one that kept coming back to my mind was the story of community. The story of community. It might even be more accurate to say that it's the greatest backstory ever told, because this idea of community we see come up again and again and again all throughout Scripture, woven like this common theme. And you might think, you know, we had that story of Noah, and we had a story of Joseph, and I remember a story of Moses. Where's that one great story of community in the Bible? And that's just it. I'm not sure that there's just one great story. It's all through the Bible. We see it come up again and again. And when I talk about community this morning, I'm talking about what it means to be in community with God and what it looks like for you and I to be in community with one another here in this place. And I think as I was continuing to think about community, some of what rose to the surface of my mind were those images and memories of the groups and the teams and the communities that I have been a part of over the different seasons of my life. I think about my time as a kid in the summertime, that we didn't have a whole lot going on. So my brother, my sister, my mom, and myself, we would go every day of the summer to our neighborhood pool, to the Brighton Green Community Association. We would go hang out at the pool. We looked forward to it. We played in the water all day, except for 15 minutes every hour of adult swim. We'd go to the snack bar and get all kinds of terrible things for us and go to the playground. And we just had a great time. We swam competitively on a swim team every Tuesday night, and that was a wonderful time to hang out and just have an enjoyable time with other families in the community. We looked forward to that. It was a great time together. And I think about community, I think about the over 10 years that my brother and I spent in scouting together. We're both Eagle Scouts, and we got to spend some great years together in the same troop. The wonderful experiences we had, the adventures we went on, the places we got to go visit that the scout troop went to, and the things we learned and studied together, the fun that we had on those trips, going camping every month. Just an incredible time of community and friendship together in those formative years. But possibly the closest community that I've ever been a part of in my life, I think, is during my college days at Virginia Tech. Man, you talk about community. How about getting 30,000 of your closest friends together that all have a deep love for orange and maroon and turkeys, and living together in the most gorgeous place in the world, surrounded by beautiful mountains, in four distinct seasons of the year. Five if you count football season, and we did in Blacksburg as a fifth season. Man, I loved my time in Blacksburg. It's where God first called me into ministry, and it's where I found incredible community. During my time there, I was involved in a number of student groups. One of these was Campus Crusade for Christ, where I met some of the best friends that I've ever had. Here's one right here. That's a long time ago, right there. That picture's over 10 years old, but Beth's still beautiful, isn't she? She hadn't. Thank you for distinguishing. I know I'm a little different, Steve. Thanks for pointing that out. Here's another picture I want to show you. I want to show you this one. And I look for the skinny version of me in the middle. Do you see? I'm up there. This picture is some of the guys I ran around with in college. This group of friends, this community of mine from college, so deeply impacted my life. It's one of the few pictures I've taken with me everywhere I've gone since I left school. It hangs in my office today, and the primary reason for that is to always remind me, especially in ministry, everywhere that I go, of what a real picture of community, an authentic community, can look like. Because I want to remember that. The community that this group shared with each other was something so incredible and so special. I knew that when I left this season of my life and we all went our separate ways, I'd probably spend the rest of my days trying to find another community that was this close and this real with each other. It was something really special about this group and the way we did life together, about the way we laughed together and cried together, the way we played together and even fought together, sometimes with each other, sometimes for each other. There was something special about the way that we got together and broke bread together, the things that we studied together in those days, and even the way that we experienced God together during those special days of our life. This picture represents a really great story. This picture represents one of the greatest stories ever told about my life. And if you could talk with any of these guys today, we've got Marty and Kevin and Rich and Rex and Ben and Sean and Josh. Any one of these guys would tell you about this incredible experience and picture of community that we lived in together. It was a community that connected us together in a way that was somehow bigger than ourselves. So here's what I want to ask you today. Have you ever been a part of a community like that? What is that great story of community that has existed in your life? What images come to mind? What memories come to mind? What rises to the surface of your mind as I ask you that? Maybe for some of you, those are images in your past, a fraternity, a sorority, a student group that you were a part of. Maybe some of you, those are right now, something at your school, an organization, a volunteer group that you're a part of. Perhaps some of you, the image of community that rose to the surface of your mind first was this community here, this faith community. What is that great story of community in your life? I want you to picture that as we go forward today. I want us to be working together today to actively be thinking about community and what community is as we kind of explore that. You know, as I think about these guys on the screen and the community that we shared together, I can't help but think about the community that existed in the book of Acts in the early church when they were first getting together and first forming together. And I think about how incredible this community was that I had with these guys. And I wonder if was that what it was like in the book of Acts? I wonder if that's what it was like when those believers got together, if that's what they experienced too. If you have your Bible, open with me to Acts 2. Verse 42. If you don't, grab one of those black pew Bibles in front of you. We're on page 911. And in Acts 2:42 and following, I want us to look for a moment at another picture that tells a great story. It's a picture of these believers in the early church. Read with me in 2:42 and following. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, in breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And it's interesting for me to read this account, this snapshot of community that existed in the early church, because as we read about it, I'm constantly reminded of those images of community that I've been a part of through these different seasons of my life, and the closeness that existed in those images of community, and how deeply impacted my life was, and how they shaped me and formed me as a person through those experiences. And I want to ask myself something, and as I do, I want to share with you, I want you to think about that community as I'm asking you this. That community that you pictured a moment ago that deeply impacted your life. What if the greatest parts of those images of community that you and I have had in our lives were meant to be the type of community that should exist here in this place? The very best, the most meaningful, the ones that made you who you were and changed you the most, those the greatest parts of that community that you are a part of. What if that was supposed to be the parts of the community that exist here? And I want to ask you, what does this community here look like for you? The community of Arapahoe Road, what does it look like? I want to ask you, what should it look like? What does it look like? What should it look like? Let's think about that for a moment and see a video together. So to our guests in the room today, maybe some of you have been visiting with us for the past 4 or 5 months. Maybe you've been here a shorter time. Today could possibly be your first visit. And if so, welcome. As Mike told you, we're delighted that you've chosen to be here today. But whenever that was for you, whether it was 20 weeks ago or 20 minutes ago, to our guests, I want you to think back with me about the first time you walked through these doors. Your first experience of walking in this place, was it what you expected? And to our members in the room today, do you think that our guests have had the same experience of community this morning that you have? Does the scripture that we just read from the book of Acts describe the experiences that you have here on a regular basis as you think about your place as a part of this community? I often share with others, and I've been here almost 8 years, and in that time, I share with others about the community that exists here. I've probably shared with some of you as visitors, either on a personal visit or a phone call, about, man, Arapahoe Road is a special place. There's something different about this place. There's something family and accepting, and just there's a different energy. There's something about this community that's different. And you might think, well, you work here. Of course, you're going to say that. But truly, no. Of all the churches I've been a part of, there's something special about this place. And I think those that have been here a while probably are tracking going, I see that. I feel that. Whew. God feels that. He does. He feels that. I can say that with confidence that there's something special about this place. But even in that comfort zone, that this is already, I think, a pretty comfortable place, it doesn't stop us from asking questions that should point us to the future. We need to be thinking about the next chapter that's coming, the next chapter that is yet to be written. as a part of our community. So I want us to think together, what do you want this community to look like as we continue to move to that next chapter of our story together? In about a month, school is going to start back up. When school starts back up, that means we start a new ministry year here. And every year that we start a new ministry year around the time school's starting, we experience kind of a new season of growth. And we often talk about that as the next window or that next growth opportunity. We talk about that window starting to open in August. And then all throughout the fall, that window of opening is we have this opportunity of growth and all these people kind of getting back into a routine. And as that begins to happen, what do we want this community to look like as we continue to move into that next chapter of our story? What do we want this community to represent to others out there, to represent to the world around us as we move into that next window of growth opportunity in August? And better yet, what does God want this community to look like? Because here's the reality. We've been enjoying some great days here, have we not? It's great days. It's an exciting time at Arapahoe Road. But it doesn't mean that we should stop asking those questions, because the answer to those questions are critical for us as we look to the future. In about a month, we're going to see that next window of growth opportunity start to open as summer winds to a close and people settle back into their fall routines. Vacations are going to come to an end, and many of you will go out to Walmart and other stores and begin to stock up on fresh crayons and unsharpened pencils and new packs of paper and notebooks and that new lunchbox and the new school clothes and the new shoes. You have to get new shoes for school, right? Some of you might even take advantage of the Rock Back to School bags that we have available. I'll tell you some more about that later in the service. You'll use that as a missions opportunity for your kids to say, let's fill one of these bags and go out and help somebody in the community. Those are things that happen in that time of the year. And whatever that time of the year looks like for you, whatever August looks like for you, I want us here in this place to be aware that that is also the time of year that we're going to see the beginning of an opportunity for community to be happening here. Do you know why? Because every fall, as families get back into routines, we also see another increase in our visitors that are walking through our doors for the very first time, and we wonder, what will they experience when they walk in? Boy, we think this has already been an exciting time. Look on the back of your bulletin with me. These are exciting days. We've got, I think, if I calculated it right, looks like 114 new additions to our membership this year, and it's only halfway over. You know, a third of those have been in baptisms. Those are exciting times, but guess what? It's kind of been what's supposed to be our slow time of the year. So this is me telling you that, hey, when August comes in about a month and that window starts to open, that's the time of year that's typically our busy time of year. So if you think it's been exciting before, wait until a few months from now and see the excitement that's here. We're just getting started. And as we're just getting started, let's think about the community that exists here and how we can be a part of that community. So why do I mention numbers? Why do you point that out? Are numbers everything? No, numbers are not everything. But do every one of those numbers represent a different life as a part of this community that's been changed? Absolutely. That is something to be celebrated. Something is happening here. Now, I love David as much as everybody. Allison, you may love David more than me, possibly, but I know I love him more than everybody, because I was thinking he was the end of the interim, and I love that. So I love David as much as the next guy, but he'd be the first to tell you, and he said in several meetings, there's something happening here. God's doing something in this place, and it's not a David thing. It's a God's doing something thing, and people are responding. And for whatever reason, we get to be a part of it. There's something going on here. And as we consider that, I want to take a moment today to consider this great story of community that we see in Scripture. And I want to ask you to wrap your minds. I don't want you to sit and just, let me hear the story. I want you to think actively with me when we talk about this story. Here's some things I want you to think actively with me about. Number one, what community already exists here, and what does it look like? What kind of community exists in this place? What does it look like? Is it on target with what God intends for this community to look like? Are we tracking with where God would want us to go with our community? How do you and your family fit into this community already? How's your family plugged in? And how should you fit in as the next window of growth opportunity comes in about a month? And what is your Bible fellowship doing to prepare for the next window in August? Take that one very seriously. What is your Bible fellowship doing now to prepare for that next window that is going to begin to open in August? If you're visiting with us, our Bible fellowships, that's what we call our Sunday morning Bible studies. If you grew up in a church like I did, we called it Sunday school. It's just called Bible fellowships here. With all of that in mind, let's look a little deeper about this idea of community, this incredible story of community that we see in the Bible. So first of all, what is community? There's some important characteristics I think we can look toward as we start to measure ourselves and say, are we really striving for community here? Are we striving for community in our Bible fellowships? Those are some things that we can look and see. Are they present as we look toward this new ministry year that's on the way? But just before we look at the characteristics, let's first understand where the great story of community came from in the first place. When we look at the nature and the character of God, He's a God that lives in community with Himself. Before time even began, we see that the God of the Bible was in community with Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the concept of the Trinity, which admittedly is a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. But what I want you to see is that our God is a God that not only values community, but community is a part of who He is. And as His followers and His kids, it's a part of who He wants us to be and where He wants us to be. And that's in community with one another and in community with the world outside of these doors. That's the picture we see in the New Testament church in the book of Acts. We read about it a moment ago. These are people that had experienced Jesus in His life, and they experienced His death and His burial and His resurrection and later His ascension. This is a picture of them coming back together to be in community with one another. And I believe that when that happened then and when it still happens today, it pleases God. Because the great story of community has always been important to Him, and it's always been a part of His plan for the world. So don't miss that. That's important. The great story of community has always been important to God, and did you know it has always been a part of His plan for the world from the beginning? I mean, look at the Garden of Eden. This is our first example of God being in community with man. In Genesis, we see an image of the Garden of Eden that shows us what it was like before sin entered the picture, before Eve bit into the apple. And the Garden of Eden, before that first sin came into play, is the picture, the image of how we're supposed to be in community with God and with others in creation. God had created Adam, and when He did, Adam was immediately in community with God because they were not separated by sin at that time. And then God created Eve, and Eve was also in perfect community with God and with Adam until Eve and Adam chose to put something in God's place in their life. And within that decision, within that moment that they put God second, we see sin enter the picture and alters this great story of community that God had set up, and it alters this immediate access that we had to community for the rest of history. And after that sin enters the picture, the story goes on to tell us that God was walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve did what? They hid from Him. And the word that's used there when it's talking about God walking in the garden is the same word we see used later in Leviticus 26 when God says, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." So why is that significant? Well, that's significant for a couple of reasons. One, it tells us that even in the earliest parts of the Old Testament, in the garden, God is telling us that He wants to walk among us in community. And two, it also tells us that what is going to be the picture when we get to heaven. That one day in heaven, it's going to be, "I will be your God and you will be my people and I will walk among you in community." In these earliest parts of Scripture, we see God valuing community. What Adam and Eve did in that moment was to walk away from God, and that, unfortunately, is what people have been doing ever since. And yet God has been pursuing us ever since. In fact, everything else we see in the Bible is a part of this great story of community where God is saying, I am going to make a way to bring you back into community with me. And that points us to another of the greatest stories ever told, the story about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And the big deal in that story is that when Jesus came to earth and took on the form of a man and lived a sinless life and died on a cross for the sins of the world, for your sins and for mine, it was the first time in all of history that Jesus, God the Son, stepped out of community, out of a community that he had always been a part of. And when he stepped out of community with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, for those moments, he became the object of God's wrath for all human sin and was outside of the plan of community that God had intended from the beginning. And in doing so, by stepping out of this loving community and becoming the object of God's wrath, Jesus made a way for you and for I to have access to that community again. Making a way for you and for me to have access to true community with him. So you see, this idea of community is very important in God's story. And because of that, it should be important in the story that is being written about Arapahoe Road today in this season. Did you hear me on that? This idea of community has always been an important part of God's story, so it needs to be an important part of our story that we're writing too. The first characteristic of community, the first handle that maybe we can use to measure against how we're doing in this room and in our Bible fellowships in this community that I want you to be aware of is that community is created. The same thing that led Adam and Eve away from their community, community with God is often the same thing that leads you and I away from our community with God and sometimes with one another. And that's pride. This idea that I can do it on my own. I don't want them to know what I'm going through, and I don't need that group. It becomes more of a focus on self than on others in the community that you're a part of. And when we put ourselves first and God second, we inevitably find ourselves stepping out of that community with him that almost always ends up leading to us also stepping out of community with one another as well. But for some of us, it might not be pride. Maybe the thing that causes you to step out of community out of community with God is your schedule. I mean, everybody's busy, right? Some of you would say, hey, I'm busier than you are. I'm busier than anybody in the room. I'd probably hear that story a lot this morning if I asked. But I believe everybody's also hungry for him and hungry for community. If you think people aren't hungry for community, then tell me how it is in the last report that I heard that approximately 1 out of every 6 people on the planet has a Facebook page. That's almost 1 billion people that are a part of what is often referred to as an online, say it with me, community. Why is 1/6 of the world a part of Facebook and searching for community? It's because God created us with a need for community. It's a part of his character and his nature. And when he created you and me, he made it a part of our character and our nature too. And the problem is Facebook can't replace the face-to-face time. The knee-to-knee time. That I'm going to sit quietly in your morning booth and hold your hand while you cry because I don't know what else to say time. The laughing together time, the breaking bread and fellowshipping together time that I know so many of our Bible fellowships are so good at. And as David says all the time, don't hear what I'm not saying. Had to get that out. I'm not saying Facebook's a bad thing. I'm one of the billion on Facebook, okay? I'm just saying that when it comes to community, it's not a complete thing. It's not the image of community that God intended. It's a community that we have created. There's a difference. There's a difference between that kind of community that we create sometimes and the kind of community that God intended for community to be. It misses the human touch that God designed for us to have. And if the only real community you have right now is online, God is telling you that you are missing something. If you're a part of Arapaho Road and you're not connected, if you're a part of, I'm a part of the Arapaho Road community, but this room is the only time I'm exposed to the Arapaho Road community. I give you an hour to 2 hours on Sunday morning. God is telling you that you are missing something. There's more to community than that. And if that's you, I'm here to tell you this morning that this is a safe place for you to unplug and connect and find that thing that you're missing. Creating communities is one of the ways that we glorify Him and make much of who He is. Did you know that? Just that being in community with one another is a way that we can bring glory to God and make much of God. Why is that? How does us having community with one another glorify God? It's because we see God in pursuit of us all throughout Scripture. You see a picture behind me on the screen. I worked youth camp many years ago now. This picture is almost 10 years old. And I was working at Centrifuge at Glorieta in Glorieta, New Mexico. And there's so many thousands of students and parents that come through. You never remember everybody. You never really stay connected to everybody because the next week there's 900 more that come in. But there's a few. There's a handful every summer, maybe not even as many as you can count on one hand, that for some reason connect with you, that impact you, that stick in your mind in a special way. And this is one of the kids that came through. His name is Jason Bittencourt, and he's from Richmond, Texas. I've told you everything I know about him. I haven't talked to Jason since the night he left camp. He was another camper to me. You say, why did he stick out in your mind? Because of what he said to me on his last night of camp. He had come to camp with his youth group that week, and he was in my Bible study, and he didn't know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He had a great week at camp, as many of our students did a couple of weeks ago at Centrifuge. And God spoke to his heart that week, and he asked Christ to be his personal Lord and Savior. And on the last night, he was so excited, and he came up, and he goes, hey, I accepted Jesus tonight. And I said, tell me what it is. What's God put on your heart? What's he doing? Share with me about that. And he was so excited, and he was hesitating as he was telling me things, and I could tell he was trying to use the exact right words to describe what it was he was feeling inside. And what came out, and I remember what came out because I thought, that's so insightful. I wrote it down so I'd remember, and it's written on the back of this photograph that I have. It hangs in my office. And he said, God pursued me this week, and now I have his love. He pursued me this week, and I have his love. Jason understood that we see God in this vertical relationship where he came down so that we could have community with him. And as followers of Jesus Christ, if you have made that decision in your life, that wonderful discovery in your life to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're aware of that vertical relationship we have with Him. But I'm going to tell you that we also have a horizontal relationship with one another and a horizontal relationship with those outside of these walls. And it more often than not, the state of your horizontal relationship with others in this community is a pretty good indication, most of the time, of how that vertical relationship with God is doing. If you're feeling pretty disconnected on a horizontal level, probably a little disconnected vertically too. So the reality is that one of the ways that we honor God, so if I lost you on that last statement, I'm pulling you back in with this one, because you're saying, well, if I'm disconnected, you can't say that I'm disconnected from God. Let me define why I said that. One of the ways that we honor God most is by being in community in those horizontal relationships with one another. Because community has always been an important part of who God is. God's always lived in community. God created community and set up community to exist from the beginning. That was the original plan. And if we're not living in community with one another and we're disconnected from one another, we're not doing all that we can do to honor God and make much of who God is. So I want to ask you this, what is your Bible fellowship doing to create community? And when I ask these things, I'm talking about the community, sure, in this place, yes, but more specifically, in your Bible fellowship class. What is your Bible fellowship doing to create community? Look with me in Acts 2:42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowshipping, to the breaking of bread and prayers." And within that verse, we see another characteristic of community. Community is not only created, but community is close. Luke is writing about the early church here, telling us that the believers were actually distinguished from others in the world by their devotion to the apostles' teaching, by their devotion to the fellowshipping with one another, and by the breaking of bread into prayer. That means that other people outside of their walls, out there, looked in and said, I'm looking at the way you treat one another. I'm looking at the way you love one another. I'm looking at the way you fellowship together. You take Lord's Supper together. You have meals together. You care about each other. I'm looking at the way that, man, you sold this to take care of that need. There's something different about all y'all. They were distinguished by their community. This means that for them, it was a priority in their life. It was something they held in common that actually set them apart from others. It meant that being taught and being in fellowship with one another wasn't something they just decided to do. If I have time, or if I don't happen to be out of town, if I don't happen to have something else to do. It says in these verses that they were devoted. And if you look in the original language that this was written in, the word devoted that was used there is a Greek word, proskartereo. It means a steadfast and single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. This was a picture of a community that saw its time together in God's Word and in their time together in fellowship with one another to be a paramount priority in their lives. And understand, there was a closeness that existed among them. A lot like the picture I showed you from college earlier, this is a snapshot. This is a picture that represents one of the greatest stories ever told about the early church. It's a picture of a community that studied together and they played together and they worked together and they ate together and they experienced God together. They did life together, good times and bad. It says they broke bread together. And we're not talking about cookies and Kool-Aid and potlucks. It's talking about taking the Lord's Supper together to remember Christ's sacrifice of stepping out of that community that he'd always been a part of, so that they might have community with him, and so that you and I might have community with him. It says they prayed together, and when you circle up with others and pray together, praising God, talking to him, bearing your soul. That's tough to do if there's not a closeness between you and the group that you're with. Closeness is an important part of community. Now, many of you are somewhat new to this community, and I know that because I know that over 100 of you have joined just in the recent months. So I know that many of you are new. So let me speak to you for a moment. Let me encourage you to take the next step and visit one of our Bible fellowships. Now, I know that's a frightening thing for me to say for some of you. I'm not ready for that, you know. I don't know anybody in there. Well, they don't know you either. It'd be a great time for you to get to know them. If you do, I can promise you that you'll be making one of the most critical decisions that you'll ever make inside these walls, because you're going to be starting a journey into this thing called community that has always been important to God, where you're going to get to connect with other people just like you that are trying to learn about Jesus and how to make much of him in their life, just like you're trying to learn about Jesus and how you can make much of him in your life. You think, I'm not sure where to do that, so let me give you a couple of handles. Everybody pull your bulletin out with me together. Pull the insert out of your bulletin for me. There's an insert in your bulletin. Pull that out and look at it with me. On this insert, you're going to see a list of all the Bible fellowships that we have going on currently. They're kind of listed out by stage of life and stage of family, so you can look through and say, this is one that I might fit really well into. There's even more classes that are going to be starting up in August, but for today, if you want a starting point, if you want a handle today, this is a good handle that you can start with today. You can use this insert to find an ABF to visit. The last hour is going on right now, so you'll have to do that next Sunday. Or you can come a little early and go to one of the welcome centers. Betty Hyde always stands at the information desk out here, outside the back double doors in the front lobby. There's always some people there. People that will love to help you get plugged in, that would love to help you find one of these classes. You can finish looking at that later, but let me encourage you to visit one of these classes in the coming days and in the coming weeks, and it's going to be a decision that can change your life as you get deeper into this thing called community. And to our members, let me ask you this. What is your Bible fellowship doing to create closeness in your community? And I don't mean the community you live in. I mean the community in your Bible fellowship class. What is your Bible fellowship doing to create closeness in your community? Look with me in verse 44 and 45. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And within that, we see another important characteristic of community that we can use to measure how we're doing. Community is not only created, community is not only close, but community is caring. There was something about this way, the way that this community of early believers in the book of Acts loved each other. There was something about the way they took care of each other, about the way they provided for each other that was somehow bigger than themselves. And just don't misunderstand when you read this part, when you're reading about having all things in common and selling property and possessions for those that had need, they're not talking about socialism and communism. Sometimes people study that and go, is that what that meant? There's a longer explanation there, but that's not what that meant. What we're talking about here is a group that valued one another so deeply and were so totally unified together around Jesus Christ and what Jesus taught and learning about him and following him that they were coming together in community. We're talking about a group that understood what many of your Bible fellowships that you're a part of understand. You study together. You play together. You encourage one another. And then when that unexpected life event happens, when the pink slip comes that you didn't think was coming your way, when you get the phone call in the middle of the night that only means one thing, when you're excited and you're going for the test and they can't find the heartbeat, when the day on the highway changes everything, when life burns you, your Bible fellowship, your community swarms. Suddenly, property, possessions, time, and schedules are sacrificed. They're secondary for those who are in need in the community. Because one of the characteristics of community is caring first. And I ask you, what is your Bible fellowship doing to create a close, caring community? Continue with me in verse 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And again, we see another characteristic of community, another handle that you and I can use as a measurement to how we're doing in the Arapaho Road community in our Bible fellowship class. Community is not only created, community is not only close, community is not only caring, but community is consistent. The believers we see in this community in the early church were not content to simply meet once a week for services as usual. Look at the verses. It says they met in the temple daily. They cared daily. They won souls daily. They studied scriptures together daily. They ate together daily. They enjoyed each other daily. And the number in their community grew daily. They understood that creating a true community together meant living out a day-to-day type of community, not showing up and warming a seat on a once-a-week routine. It was deeper than that for them. Why? Because Christ was a reality to them. He was at work in their lives, and they understood that this plan and this great story of community has always been a part of God's plan for them. It's always been a part of what God planned for the world. And all of that led to a daily consistency in the community that they were building with one another. So is it any surprise that these verses go on to tell us that as a result, there was joy in their community, that their hearts were glad? Why? Not because they met for 2 hours one morning a week, not because their concept of community was limited to a computer. No, instead we see an image of community, a snapshot of community where Christians are eating together and studying together and playing together and being close together and caring together and doing these things on a consistent basis. It was so much a part of who they were that it just poured out of their being. And as we said earlier, it became a defining thing for the rest of the world, that others in the world would walk around and say, oh, you're with the Christ group. You're with the Way. Yeah, I saw how you treated them. I know you're one of them. It's something that set them apart, that made much of who God is. And by working to create a close, caring, consistent community, they made much of Christ. And don't miss this. That led to Christ being lifted up in the world around them. Isn't that incredible? By being in community with one another and doing what you're supposed to do anyway, one of the benefits is that Christ is lifted up in the world. And others look to you and say, I see Christ being lifted up in your life because you're in community with others. What does that mean for us this morning? Does that mean that we're all expected to worship here together every single day, meet in your Bible fellowships every day, have dinner together every day? Of course not. Doesn't mean that. That'd be tough. Be a big table. Be fun. But it might mean that you make a decision this morning to get more involved in a Bible fellowship. It might mean that you take courage today and say, hey, my first opportunity next Sunday, I'm going to be here in time to walk the hall, and I'm going to use this insert, and I'm going to show up at one of these classes. And you know what? It might take more than one visit. You might go to a class and go, this isn't the one. But I see some others on here that might work. It might mean that for you, that you're courageous and do that. I mean, you've been visiting. There's many of you in here that have been visiting, and you think, I like this place. The people are pretty nice. I think this is kind of a neat place. I like the preacher. I'm not sold on the second string yet. You know, we're waiting for the other guy. But the A-team's coming back next week. Okay? You're already sitting here going, I've been coming for several weeks. I like the preacher. I feel like he teaches me things. I feel like I learn things when I go there. I like these people. What are you waiting for? Make that next step. Be courageous. Get involved in community. Don't wait until something happens in your life and there's this crisis in your life and you're left out there alone to deal with it alone. Get involved now and have the joy of having other people there to minister to you through the ups and downs of your life. Or it might mean that your Bible fellowship spends some time in the coming weeks talking about some tough questions and asking yourself, what do we need to do as a Bible fellowship class, as a Bible fellowship community, to create more of a close, caring, consistent community as we prepare for a new ministry year? Remember, we're thinking actively. There's a new ministry year coming in about a month. We're thinking as our classes, what can we do to create a close, caring, consistent community as that new year approaches? Or it might be a response that's more personal and individual too. It might mean that you need to take a step back and evaluate your schedule and evaluate your family's schedule and how your own commitment to being a growing and contributing member of this faith community can increase. Why? Because part of the way that we make much of who God is and part of the one way that we can most glorify God is by being in community with one another. Because that was part of his plan. That's the way we make much of who God is. Whatever it is you need to decide, wherever you are in this process, just remember, we serve a God that not only values community, but is a part of his character and his nature, has community built into who he is. And as his followers, As his kids, it's a part of who he wants us to be and where he wants us to be, and that's in close, caring, consistent community with one another and with the world outside these doors. I'm going to ask Mike to come on up now, and as Mike comes, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer in a moment. But before I do, I want to ask you, what is your Bible fellowship doing? What is your Bible fellowship doing to create a close, caring, and consistent community? And as you're thinking about that and measuring that together in the days to come, think about these questions again. What do we want this community of Arapahoe Road to look like as we continue to move into that next chapter of our story together? What do we want this community to represent to others out there as we move closer to the next window of growth opportunity that's going to begin to open in about a month? Better yet, what does God, who created community as a part of his original plan, want this community to look like? I want to give you an opportunity in a moment to respond to what God may be doing in your life. For some of you, it may be that, you know what, I've been coming here for a long time. It might be years, it might be months, it might be weeks, it might be days. I need to make the next step. I need to get involved. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, to make that commitment to the Lord to get involved, to try out one of our Bible fellowships. Some of you are on a whole different level. I'm hearing you talk about this God and this Jesus and this community thing, and I'm liking that. I've been liking this place. I've been coming here, but I've never made that step to ask Christ into my life. I've never made what I'm telling you is a wonderful discovery to have Christ in your life. If you've never done that, don't wait anymore. Come, do that today. Ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you've been visiting, don't wait. You know that you like this place. God is doing something. You feel that God is doing something here. You sense that, but you don't know exactly what it is. Come, make it official. Find out what that looks like in your life. If you want to stand, I want to pray for us, and then Mike's going to lead us. And if God's leading you to do something, you come quickly during that time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being a God that values community, for being a God that is so wise that you built community in to your original plan for us. And God, there's people in this room today that are struggling. Lord, I can feel their struggle. They've been coming. They want to get involved. They're not sure how to take that next step. God, please fill them with your courage. Make them brave in these moments. God, there's people here that you're moving in their heart. Speak loud and clear to them. You have been pursuing them. God, continue to pursue them. Draw them near to you until they come to know this and understand this wonderful love of your Son. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for being a God that knew that we needed community as a part of our character and nature. Lord, bless the time that we have together and help us to be distinguished out there, to be set apart out there, to be in community with one another and with our neighbors in a way that makes them go, there's something different. We just ask this in your Son's name. Amen.